Karlsson, Karlsson, världens bästa Karlsson. Karlsson, Karlsson, hoj här kommer Karlsson. Karlsson, Karlsson, ingen faktiskt ingen annan Karlsson spelar jag så bra som mig.
Karlsson, Karlsson, Karlsson scores!
Boom. Hello everybody, welcome to part 2 of episode 480 of the Keeping Karlsson Fancy Hockey Podcast, a podcast where Brian and I are taking things very seriously as we are approaching the end of the season, the end of the fantasy season, going through every single team, finding some value as we head into the final week in a lot of leagues. So Brian, we've gone through 13 teams, that means we have 19 to go. We can do this. Let's get right into it. Should I say hello for Brian? How's it going? How do you feel after part one?
I feel good. Yeah, we'll pick up the pace a little on the back end. But first, if you don't mind, Elon, I want to get going. But we have a huge upset in the Cupful.
Harrison
number
did
the
it?
The six seed Harrison, who already knocked off the 3 seed, Brandon, after barely squeaking into the playoffs. He was projected, Harrison, to lose by 40. This weekend, Mark had the bye week to prepare and 10 extra games. I'm sorry, Mark. This probably makes it like all the more painful, but Harrison's going to do it. Like we can call it at this point. It's going to be the 6 seed Harrison against the 4 seed Ryan in the finals. The two bye teams, 1 and 2, both dropping with games played advantages and like a huge boon for Harrison. His team is called Knock Knock Hughes there. You know, for Jack Hughes. And Hughes, like his Friday, Saturday, 3 goals, 2 assists, 10 shots. Also, Hughes had a 10-shot game last week. And I'm sure someone mentioned it at some point, but I think it's worth mentioning again. Anyway, Jack Hughes was huge. Mike Matheson, massive performances. Jake Guentzel, Carter Hart. I don't know how many fantasy teams have had Carter Hart on them all the way through this year, like straight through. Harrison held him all year after bidding $6 for him at the Cupful auction. That 29-save shutout was massive for Harrison against Detroit on Saturday. Andrew Peak showing up. Do you, Elon, know what team Andrew Peak? Of course you do.
But, no, I don't know. Seattle? Is it? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, he's on Columbus.
Oh, okay, right. That would be my next.
His peripherals are great. Like, he either has huge hits or blocks, like enough to equal the equivalent of like an assist and a few shots each game, even though he doesn't assist. And then he actually picked up a real life assist against Montreal the other night. It has been like, what a week for Harrison's team. And Mark was unfortunately let down by Zuccarello, who we talked about in the last episode. Nylander, we also talked about, who's averaging fewer than 4 fantasy points a game over 3 games, which is below replacement. And Aaron Ekblad, we haven't gotten to Florida yet, but we'll have to talk about what to do with him. He totaled just 4 fantasy points in 3 games, where last year you could have expected 3 times as much. Like, that's a 1-game total for Aaron Ekblad when things are going well. So, you know, sorry, Mark. Like, Mark did everything right this year, and this such is the nature of fantasy. There's always next year, and Harrison and Ryan will be duking it out in the final. So stay tuned. We'll tweet a link at some point to the match. You can get to it from Cacuffle.com, but we'll tweet a link to the matchup that will decide who is the ultimate fantasy hockey champion, the best fantasy hockey manager in the world. Wow.
Yeah, it's a really impressive accomplishment, like, for both of them. And Mark, it's wild that Mark lost. His team was so good. But last year, also, Mark's team was the best. So, and I'm sure next year, Mark's team will probably also be the best in the regular season. And maybe he's going to have to start being like the Toronto Maple Leafs and make trades specifically to win a specific playoff matchup, because you don't have to worry about messing up in the regular season. But good luck to both. Well, why do I say that? Good luck to both Harrison and Ryan. But I hope you both get similar luck.
Do you wish either one bad luck?
I wish them both. I want the best player to win, right? So I don't want any luck to come into effect. I want it to just be like the best team wins. I don't know. Anyways, let's go in. Okay, so that's gonna be fun. And also congrats to anyone else, by the way, in all of our other divisions who's made it to the finals. Like, a huge accomplishment to make it to the finals in any couple division. And I'm very curious to finally see who our new, you know, group of champions are. You are going to be getting cool limited edition or like unique couple t-shirts, right, with your division. And it's cool stuff. Okay. But anyways, Brian, let's get into the podcast here again, where we're going through all these teams and finding takes. Next up, I wanted to go to the Winnipeg Jets, who are sitting here at 14th overall in the league right now, 85 points. And when you go to Frozen Tools, very surprising result because I'm seeing Neil Pionk is hot and Josh Morrissey is cold. That's not how it's supposed to be happening. Like, Morrissey's been having this insane season. He was a point per game up until just recently, where in these last four games, he's totally disappeared. Pointless in four games for Josh Morrissey. What's happening, Brian? Is this something that people should be concerned about? Like, do we have to start talking about, maybe do you thank Morrissey for everything he did for you and then say goodbye for the finals? Or is it just like, yeah, at this point you hold on and just hope that this is just a blip? Like, is it a blip, or is there something you're seeing that's different about what's going on here?
Winnipeg is really struggling as a team for the last little while. And this isn't new. And like, if you follow Murat Tetesh, who I hope we'll get to talk to on the Beat series at the end of the year, like, it's been basically Connor Hellebuyck saving the team or bust for a fair long stretch now. Like, this is not the way you want to go into the playoffs. And for Winnipeg, goal scoring specifically, just 9 goals over their last 6 games. So that's not enough scoring to make anyone fancy relevant. You look through the list of their, like, it's all snowflakes on Frozen Tools for the whole Jets roster, except for Neil Pionk, as you mentioned. But the Jets are just one. They've scored just once in their last 26 power play opportunities over this stretch. I can go back one further game and say 1 for 27. So there's a lot of not good stuff going on. The team is shooting unsustainably poorly, but they're also playing kind of poorly too. So it's hard to say exactly how much of a bounce back we'll see, but I wouldn't thank Josh Morrissey for his service and send him on his way. I'd hold on. I'd assume that when the Jets do start scoring again, and they will, that Josh Morrissey will be in on it, as will all the usual suspects. So there's not a whole lot you can do except grit it out with Scheifele and... What are you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, Shams is saying here in the chat, the chatter online is that Morrissey is gutting out an injury. And we've seen this happen before, where a player that's playing through injury maybe is helping his team more than if he doesn't play, but might just like not be able to help his fantasy manager. So if that's true, that would give me more of a reason to just consider cutting Morrissey and grabbing someone. Like, if you're in the finals, you know, like, it's just like all this week, like, all that matters is this week. You know, I'd be a little nervous, but it's so hard to know, because is that true or is it not? Who knows? Like you say, maybe it's just the Jets being cold and has nothing to do with an injury.
Yeah, well, I mean, both can be true, right? And then an injured Morrissey might not actually be this bad, but maybe that is also one of the reasons why the Jets are struggling, right? Like, they lean on him, Hellebuyck, but they also lean on him a whole lot. But, well, yeah, there's no one who's really doing anything that we'd want to see in Winnipeg. Like, Niederreiter, you know, when he was acquired, he was doing great. Now just 1 point in his last 6 games, only 2 shots over his last 3. So if you're rostering him, he might be a drop for now until you see Winnipeg pick their game back up again.
Yeah, which, you know, like you say, it'll happen eventually, but there's only a couple weeks left in the season. For some people, just 1 week left, so might not happen next week. I mean, here, let me look at the schedule next week, maybe to give a little hint of, like, Winnipeg only plays 3 times, and it's Tuesday, and then Friday, Sunday. Oh, man, but Tuesday is against San Jose, which is a pretty meaty opponent. So, okay, let's say this. This is the plan. We're going to hold our Jets past Tuesday, okay? Get that game against San Jose. And then maybe you need to reconsider if you could get a team that plays like 3 times between Wednesday and Sunday versus 2 times. I don't know. Something to consider. But okay, Brian, next up, let's go to the New York Islanders. The Islanders. Okay, so we're already outside of playoff teams, at least here in the East. So the Islanders, I know, are still kind of fighting for it. But wait, is this true? So the Islanders are this good? Okay, 83 points in 74 games, top half of the league. Good for them. I guess just for fantasy, they haven't been too valuable, but I didn't realize that they were having a decent enough season. But yeah, if you look at the hot and cold streaks, I know right away that you're not going to see Bo Horvat in the hot streaks. And we've talked about how things have kind of gone downhill for him ever since Barzal got injured. One guy that I am happy to see here in the hot streaks is Noah Dobson. Just last week, Brian, we were talking about how Dobson was cold, and we were wondering if whether he was someone that you need to consider letting go. But no, like, since we talked about him, 5 points in his last 5 games. He still had like a 0 shot game and a 1 and 2 shot games. Like, Dobson hasn't been shooting the way I'd like. Like, he had one game where he had 5 shots against Toronto, and he also had a goal and an assist in that game. Aside from that, it's just assists that are making up this 5 points. So 1 goal, 4 assists. So yeah, on one hand, I want to be like, yeah, it's nice, he's bouncing back, hopefully people held on. On the other hand, I still would be a little bit concerned, because it's still the Islanders and they don't score a lot, and it's not as if Dobson is shooting the lights out like he used to.
Yeah, last time we talked about Dobson, we sort of said goodbye to the idea that his upside could be reliably high as an Islander. Like, they'd squeezed a little bit of that offense that we were hoping for out of him. So that's been a bummer. And like you said, I don't know that I'm going to get too married to the guy. In fact, I suggested, I think, that he is somebody that you might want to let go of if he's not doing a whole lot for you. So I said, hold McAvoy, let go of Dobson. What can I say? I get it wrong sometimes. One guy you definitely want to hold on to, though, is Bo Horvat. No goals in his last 11 games, but he has taken 39 shots. So 3.5 shots per game. And Horvat is you know, we've talked a lot this year about his shooting percentage. He's still a good shooter, all right? Like, he can score on, let's give a conservative, or I think a fair 14% of his shots. So that would mean over the last 11 games, Horvat deserves 5.5 goals, and he just hasn't gotten them. And I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be getting them other than just a run of unfortunate events for him. So I wouldn't give up on Bo Horvat. Somebody else who is back, by the way, from injury is Jean-Gabriel Pageau. He came back pretty hot, too. 6 points in 4 games. Quiet in his last two and only 1 shot combined. But I think he might still be somebody who's worth looking at, especially with the Isles playing twice in the first 3 days of next week. And Elon, I'll drop somebody else who you also probably talked about on Matchup Maximizer, but top line, top power play, Kyle Palmieri.
Yeah. I had that exact conversation with Palmieri versus Pageau and said, go with Palmieri.
Yeah, me too. And like, Palmieri's frustrating because like, he's very on and then off and then on and then off, but There's 2 games early this week, so even if he's just on for one of them, that's good enough, and he's in a position to produce. We should point out the top line is Palmieri, Brock Nelson, and Pierre Engvall, so it's not like you're playing with Matt Barzal or Bo Horvat or Anders Lee. Maybe that's not the top line. It's like a 1B or line 2, but it's a pretty solid place to be in the lineup. So Palmieri making himself fancy relevant again this year. A bit of a surprise, but just like the Islanders winning games after making that big splash for Bo Horvat, and everyone kind of mocked them. It's like, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to be working like further towards the rebuild direction. And what is this, giving up assets for Bo Horvat? And they're in the race. They've proven that the trade might have been worth doing for at least this year and hopefully beyond. But yeah, the Islanders right in the thick of things. Good for them.
Yeah, okay. Next up, we're going to a longtime rival of the Islanders, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Brian, remember 92-93 when the Penguins were supposed to win and then the Islanders knocked them out? That was the first year I ever watched hockey. And I remember being so shocked that Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr lost to the Islanders. But this year, they're right back-to-back in the league standings. And here's what's noteworthy about what's going on in Pittsburgh. One big snowflake beside Chris Letang. What is going on, Brian? 0 points in his last six. Like, this has been anyone who drafted Chris Letang this year, just so frustrating. Like, he stunk at the beginning. He gave a little bit of hope. Then there was that whole craziness where I want to be sensitive. Like, he left for like legitimate reasons, of course. The craziness was Yahoo not giving him proper designation. So we were stuck with Letang not even being able to go on IR while he was dealing with his, mourning his father. And then he came back. He was looking good for a bit. Now, yeah, pointless in six. What, ridiculous. I know he's taking shots. I'm sure you'll see that, like, obviously, just like it, this is unlikely to continue. Still a bummer if you have him, of course.
It's, yeah, for sure a bummer. And there have been enough stretches of inconsistency to like be like, oh, here we are again with Chris Letang. It's been a bit of a frustrating season to roster him, but overall, I think Letang has still done just fine. The power play in Pittsburgh has struggled lately, just 3 goals in their last 18 opportunities over the last 6 games. And that matches Letang's cold streak pretty well. So I think once the power play keeps going, like, and will get going again, I think Letang will be a part of it. And yeah, I think you gotta wait this one out.
Okay, so next up, Brian, let's go to the Calgary Flames. All right, so the Flames are a team like that. You know, like, obviously you brought up Huberdeau earlier and talking about like those big trades lately. Man, when you think back on it, like losing Tkachuk and getting Huberdeau just seems like so insane right now. You would veto that in fantasy in a second.
Yeah, probably. And Matthew Tkachuk also seems like the kind of player who's just like irreplaceable. Like, he's got everything you want in a hockey player. He's got the talent. He seems like well liked. He's a bit of a pest. Like, he's a guy that you need, like, that can win you cups. Sorry, Flames fans. This is a tough.
And like, also like looking at the lines and power plays, and this is not just like a one game thing. Jonathan Huberdeau hasn't even been on the top power play, Brian. The top power play in the last few games: Backlund, Tyler Toffoli, Lindholm, Mangiapane, Rasmus Anderson, leaving both Kadri and Huberdeau on the second power play. They're two big acquisitions from the summer. Kadri,
and yet,
Like
I was just going to, the silver lining is that we're talking about Calgary before Florida.
Yeah, I guess so. That's true.
Somehow, yeah. They're 2 points up on Florida with a game in hand. So the same points percentage, actually the exact same goals differential too. The teams are like looking in a mirror at each other. But it's amazing. So maybe that's upside for Calgary, right? Saying like, okay, we're doing all this without knowing how to make use, proper use of Huberdeau and Kadri. So maybe once they get going, we'll really be right in the thick of it. There's the other side of the coin, Flames fan.
Well, and I should actually say, Huberdeau does have 8 points in his last eight games. Kadri scored a goal in a couple games straight. So yeah, maybe things are turning around. I guess I was just looking at deployment and kind of scoffing a bit. But yeah, it does also give opportunities for a lot of players to have some value, you know, by like spreading people out a little bit. And one of those people, like the defenseman on that second power play, is Mackenzie Weegar. And he is really hot right now. Weegar has 7 points in his last six games. I'm sure he fell into free agency in a lot of leagues after being like a pretty high draft pick going into the year after what he did in Florida last year. And Weegar now, like if you grabbed him, he may be someone that's really carried you through these playoffs. He had an 8-hit game at one point. He's been like blocking a decent amount. And yeah, now the offense is coming. Also 4 shots in each of his last two games. So Mackenzie Weegar, yeah, like I don't, better than Noah Hanifin at this point. And at one point I would have definitely preferred Hanifin. So that's definitely swapped.
For sure. One other guy who might have fallen into free agency and who's just in a good situation deployment wise, no promises that's going to translate into anything, but Andrew Mangiapane is on the top line and top power play. He hasn't put up a point in his last two, but before that he had a goal and 2 assists over the 4 games prior. And a couple games ago, even though without points, Mangiapane put up 5 shots. So maybe there's a little something there. And a quick shout out at least to Walker Dewar, Elon, who I just really like, because his first and last name are both verbs, and I feel like that's an NHL first.
Congrats to him. All right, Brian.
I should probably say why I'm shouting him out. The three points in his last two games. His name is more impressive than that to me, and more sustainable too. But 5 shots, also 4 shots against San Jose on Saturday night. Way to go, Walker Dewar.
Okay. All right. So Brian, we are going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to go to Nashville, where we have a new injury. Like, they haven't had enough injuries, so now we've got another one. Ridiculous. And so I'll leave you in suspense.
Oh, gosh. Who?
Dear listener. Well, you'll find out after the break. You're listening to Keeping Carlson. It's Matt Duchene, Brian. The injury is Matt Duchene. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The only player that a lot of people have heard of on the top power play left is out now. Like, I'm looking at now today's game. If you look at the lines and power plays for this game versus Toronto, which is now over. And after Duchene went out, I guess it looks like Philip Tomasino took over. So it was Cody Glass, Tomasino, Tommy Novak, Luke Evangelista, and then, of course, Tyson Barrie. That was PP1.
You know,
wild.
Matt Duchene was the last player on the Preds roster that would help me when I looked at the last game lines, identify the top line. Like, oh yeah, there's Duchene. Okay, so that's the top line. And on the power, oh yeah, there's the top power play unit. Now I think you're looking for Tommy Novak to find the top line, which isn't crazy, right? Like, he's been doing well for a while now, but playing with Kiefer Sherwood and Luke Evangelista, and you already talked to the top power play unit. Even, you know, we talked about Barrie before. With this, is it even more impressive that Tyson Barrie keeps producing 2 straight multi-point outings, 7 points now in his last 6 games, 6 shots today against Toronto? There's no way he's available in free agency, right? If anybody dropped him when he left Edmonton, as they should have because Yosi was healthy, but until Yosi's back, you still definitely want Tyson Barrie, Tommy Novak. I guess Philip Tomasino has been doing pretty well. He has 9 points over his last 9 games too. Yeah. Is that it, Elon? Like, is there anyone else you'd like to roster in Nashville?
I mean, it depends on your league format. Kiefer Sherwood and Luke Evangelista have both been pretty good. And Sherwood is specifically really awesome for hits. I really wish I grabbed him when I had the chance in my dynasty league. He was out there for a while. He has 5 hits in each of his last 3 games. Evangelista did have a huge game, but has gone quiet since. He's been taking some shots. So yeah, obviously these are deep cuts. But yeah, Tommy Novak, you skip over him because now it's like, oh, so obvious. But like, he's still available in a lot of leagues. Like, he's not like super high rostered on Yahoo or Fantrax. And yeah, we're up to now 34 points in 41 games on the season for Tommy Novak. So this isn't just like some small sample size variance. Like, he's on a 68-point pace if he had played the whole season. Like, if that's crazy, right? Like, and he's a center. Like, I don't know. Granlund's gone. You know, like, looking to next year, like, he could be the top line center. Like, he could be centering Forsberg and Duchesne, theoretically, and be on the top power play. Like, this is a guy who's like, look, I don't know where he came from, but he seems like very good.
Yeah. So the question is, right? Like, okay, if he is the top line, top power play guy, how much do you want Tommy Novak? And he took the college route and was drafted in the third round back in 2015 by the Predators. And usually, like, somebody with that kind of pedigree, you know, you might be a decent middle six player. But Novak has had a few really successful years in the AHL. He's been a point per game player over parts of the last three seasons that he's played in the AHL, which actually followed a really short stint in the ECHL, which is generally, you know, where you go when your career is absolutely on the brink. So do you want Tommy Novak if he's on the top line, top power play? Based on what I'm seeing, I think so. Like, he is, you know, we were all taking a shot. I feel like maybe he's a... Remember when we were taking shots on Tyler Johnson the last couple years because he was going to play with Patrick Kane? I feel like this is a similar kind of look. Maybe you pick him a little earlier than you might have taken that Tyler Johnson flyer. He is shooting almost 20%, which seems high on the whole, but some of that is fueled by some strong power play scoring too, where you would expect a higher shooting percentage. At 5-on-5, Novak is shooting 16% and scoring more actual goals than his expected goals would predict. Has a few friendly percentages working for him. So we'll see. Like, 68 points seems high, especially on Nashville, where it's pretty hard to put up really legit production for a long time. Novak's also already 25 years old, so like, this is a late bloomer situation. But I might take a mid to late round, a more late round flyer on Novak next year if he's slated in to be top line, top power play, as someone who might have upside for 60 points or a little more. Maybe Kevin Hayes would be a good comp for him.
Yeah, I was thinking that Tyler Johnson thing was a little bit like, he was in a good spot, but like, hadn't been a big producer in a long time. Like, Tommy Novak, if he could...
People were so excited about him, though.
Well, I mean, but they were excited about him as like a guy to grab at the end of the draft.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Oh, a diamond in the rough. Novak is like... it's like he's really producing, and we'll see what happens, obviously. But anyways, for this week, get him. I guess he plays Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, so you may think not a great schedule. But again, you know, if you could fit a Nashville guy in on Tuesday and Thursday, yeah, there's a couple teams that can give you three games in that span, but maybe those guys won't get as many points as Tommy Novak in two games. I think, like, just because Duchesne is out, I don't think it's necessarily going to hurt Novak. I think that probably he'll just continue to be whatever he would have been if Duchesne was there, just a hunch. Where should we go next, Brian? How about we go to the Florida Panthers, who you brought up before, doing worse than Calgary. Kind of surprising. Like, they were such an amazing team last year, and now they added Matthew Tkachuk. But yeah, only 79 points in their 73 games. If we go over to Frozen Tools and see who's hot lately. Okay, so Matthew, like, we can't talk more about Matthew Tkachuk. He's very good. Okay, Alex Barkov and Carter Verhaeghe. Verhaeghe, I think you also, like, put a spotlight on last week and talked about how great he was doing. And Verhaeghe's also been getting, like, top power play time over Aaron Ekblad. So maybe this is our opportunity to just, like, focus a little more on Ekblad, because he's not listed. Or no, he is listed, actually. It's Cole here on Frozen Tools. So Frozen Tools is telling us we have to do it. No points in five games for Ekblad. He's off the top power play. He hasn't had more than a block in a game since February. There's like no reason to hold on to Aaron Ekblad. He's not taking a lot of shots. He's not the top power play. Like, give me a reason to hold this guy, unless it's just like impossible to find defense.
Aaron Ekblad's last assist came on February 6th. He's gotten 20 games. He's a defenseman, and he's gotten 20 games without an assist. I have Ekblad as a keeper in that league where you gave up Evan Bouchard. I wish I, you know, had dealt Ekblad for Bouchard in retrospect, because, yeah, this is not good. And Ekblad's 5-on-5 time has also dipped this year. And now that the power play deployment is gone, I don't know, he's on a 40-point pace. And that is with 15 power play points, too. Like, that's not without any power play production. I'm really discouraged by what we've seen from Ekblad this year. There are a few pieces of, like, bad variance working against him, like his points participation at 5-on-5, lower than it ever has been. His shooting percentage, also lower than it ever really has been. His on-ice shooting percentage has taken a dip, too. So I think Ekblad deserves probably better than this 40-point pace, but I wonder if he can be much more than a if he's not able to pick up 20 points on the power play, then I think he goes back to what he was when he was putting up about 10 points in a season on the power play. And that's like a 50-point pace, which takes a lot of steam out of his value, especially also if these shots don't come back. So yeah, bummer for Ekblad and anybody who rosters him in a keeper. I'm not sure.
We
got to see what happens next year, but I don't know why he'd replace Montour on the power play based on how well things have gone without him.
Yeah. Okay. I say let him go. Like, he does take 3 shots per game, which is like good for D, but yeah, 40-point pace this year, Brian. So when you're saying like maybe he'll get you 50, which is a bummer, like right now people would love to get something closer to that.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Before we move on off Florida, Anthony Duclair has not been doing a whole like decent deployment at 5-on-5, not on the power play, and not doing a whole lot.
I would still grab him because if he's been dropped, like the last game he was playing with Barkov and Tkachuk. It's just like too good of a spot. Like, fine if you're playing with just Barkov or just Tkachuk. Like, that's such a good line. Like, unless it changes, like, I feel like you just go for it. Like, it's got to, like, it's like if you were grabbing Malgin when he was playing with McKinnon and Rantanen, I definitely would take Duclair playing with Barkov and Tkachuk.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. So if Duclair holds that deployment, do you happen to know, like, I'm pulling up, for anyone who doesn't know, like, I use hockeyviz.com to find out, like, a player's game-by-game line deployment. Like, Duclair's played a bunch with Barkov and a bunch with Verhaeghe, a lot of Louis Dreinen. It's kind of been all over the map, so we'll see where he settles. Playing with Barkov and Tkachuk would be a really fantastic place to settle. It's not, he did it for the first time, basically, in the last game. And also, Elon, sorry, one more thing before we move on from Florida. Just like, and we said no more Matthew Tkachuk, but off-ice comment on Matthew Tkachuk, just like shout out to him for stepping up and saying something. You know, he went out of his way after a couple of his teammates decided not to show that everybody is welcome to attend Florida Panthers games or be in the hockey community. He went out of his way in a post-game interview to say everybody is welcome in his locker room. So like this is the guy you want to, like, what a guy, and like charismatic, and says it in a way like that, just, I don't know, like unquestionable. It's like, yeah, that's obvious, man. Way to go.
So attaboy, Matthew.
His teammates who barely contribute to the team got the message, and things go from here.
Yeah. I will mention also on Florida, not to like change the subject from an important topic, but like Florida actually has a really good schedule next week to start, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So if you have room on Thursday, then that's another reason to grab Duclair, even if he's cold. Like, he's in free agency because he's cold, right? And he has all the reason to heat up with a good schedule. And
yeah,
being on that
he
line.
Just has, he hasn't shown anything since coming back from injury, but you're making the argument that maybe he hasn't been given the opportunity to do that. So yeah, keep him on your watch list. Absolutely.
Okay. We're at him right now. All right. So next up, let's go to the Buffalo Sabres. Okay. Which is like a nice standing for them. Usually if we were doing this in previous years, we'd always be talking about Buffalo near the bottom of the standings. They're not a bottom of the standings team anymore. They were looking even better for a while. You know, they've cooled off a little bit. Like, Tage Thompson hasn't been, like, when we did our, Brian, we did a draft, remember, of like redrafting for the rest of the season. We did like a month or two ago, and Tage Thompson, I think, was taken the top round. Like, I don't think he was, in hindsight, he shouldn't have gone as high as he was taken, because he's cooled off a little. He's still really great, but like, he's not having, when's the last time we've seen a 4-goal game from Tage Thompson? Come on.
For sure. Yes. No, he's been relatively cold lately. Although, remember, he left a game because he was injured, and then he came back for the next game. So like, maybe not quite as much chance to be dominant. But he's still pacing, Elon, even with just 2 points in his last 6 games, he's still pacing above 100 points.
No, I know.
Over 82 games.
I mean, that's why you took him at the end of the first round. And I remember,
that's why I still might. Like, I still think this is a sustainable look for Tage Thompson. So I like, maybe in the first round, I don't know, it depends on how everything else shakes out. But a 100-point player doesn't go far long after the end of the first round.
Yeah, no. I mean, no, if he's like the player he was in the first half, it's like, it's same as what we were just talking about with Jared McCann. Like, I want to make sure that...
And he might not be.
Okay. Well, because you care more about the first half than the second half?
He might not be... Yeah, we'll see. He might not be the player he was in the first half, because he's shown something different in the second half. Yeah. I don't think Tage Thompson has declined in the second half.
Well, yeah, he has a little bit, but not enough to erase the first half. Anyways, this is just semantic. I'm just saying it was a bad pick for that specific draft, in hindsight.
I disagree.
Well, I mean, we could just look at the results.
Okay, right. You're saying like for the rest of the season. Yes. Okay.
It
fair.
It has turned out not to be good.
I get it now. Yes. Okay.
So looking at the lines, though, I mean, there's nothing like Buffalo's another one of these teams. There's been nothing really to say for a while. Like, we got the top line. They're all rostered. Then you've got also, of course, Dylan Cousins. Oh, wait a minute. Actually, I'm seeing that Dylan Cousins was on the second power play in the last game, and Olofsson was back on the top power play. Anyways, but Dylan Cousins is still like really good. He's got 4 points in his last three games. Olofsson still like doesn't interest me too much, even when he gets top power play. He's pretty meh. So, yeah, I don't really have
I'll
anything
shout out, okay, I'll shout out John Jason Paterka, a.k.a. JJ Paterka, who was bumped down to the third line with Olofsson and Krebs for a while, but he is back playing with Cousins and Quinn and has been hitting the score sheet like pretty regularly. He's up to 8 points in his last eight games. So if he's in free agency and you're looking for a spot start on a night Buffalo's playing, he might be a good option.
Yeah, JJ Paterka. Like, Buffalo has so many of these guys, like, such high pedigree. Like, they could be a really scary team in a few years once these guys get a couple of seasons under their belt. We have a question here in the chat. Steve Arneson, who would you keep, Dahlin or Hedman? And it's like, off the top of my head, I'd be like, give me the guy on the top power play in Dahlin. But Dahlin's actually been pretty cold himself. Only a 2 assists.
Give me Dahlin.
You're for sure Dahlin over Hedman?
Yeah. I mean, if Hedman has spent time off the power play for two long stretches this season... Yeah, no.
Hedman still
I don't,
gets point. Actually, Hedman's also kind of cold lately.
Yeah. I don't want to deal with that. And I assume that's only going to happen more often next year, like incrementally more. No, for me, it's a no contest.
Oh, I was actually thinking like for next week. If we're talking like as a keeper, then yeah, definitely I'll take Dahlin because I think Buffalo, like I was just saying, their young players are just going to get better and better, and he's the clear top guy. Sorry, I was thinking like for next week, I could go either way for next season and moving forward in your life. Then definitely go the much younger and higher upside Dahlin. Okay, so that is Buffalo. Oh, I guess you mentioned the goalies. They're also going to potentially be a team that gets... Maybe they can tie the record for getting 4 wins from 4 different goalies because Devon Levy is coming in. We talked about this last week. He still hasn't played. Eric Comrie, out of nowhere, had a really great game. Like, he seemed like the guy who, like, I was wondering if he was... Because someone's going to have to, like... They can't hold 4 goalies, can they? But, like, Eric Comrie just got a shutout, so... Good for him. I have no idea what they're going to do over there in Buffalo with goalies.
Do you know they also have Ben Bishop?
Well, that's like a cap thing, right? I didn't know that.
Yeah. <though. laughs> No, but it's I didn't realize that. Well, okay. So
Eric Comrie, this must be a record. He just had a shutout against the Islanders. In his previous game, he let in 10 goals. Has there ever been a goalie before that went from letting in 10 goals to letting in zero goals?
Okay, I would like even open up the perimeters to be like 7 or more goals. Like it narrows the sample. So Comrie's under contract for next year. Craig Anderson is not. He seems like the kind of guy who's going to sign like 1 year contracts until he's like fully physically cooked. Devon Levy's on the ELC. Lukanen is also on an ELC through to the end of next year. So they have Comrie, Levy, and Lukanen under contract for next year for very cheap. That's like a $4 million goaltending triumvirate. And like you could hope for any one of them to really step up and be a starter.
It's a great situation. Yeah, great situation for the team to be in, to not have invested a lot in goalies like financially and to be getting like what should be like a really good crop, but we'll see. They'll actually have to produce. Hasn't been a great year actually for Buffalo goalies. By the way, in the chat here, Shams helping us out again. Maybe an explanation for Tage Thompson slowing down a bit. By the way, I'm not mean to say like Tage Thompson has been bad. I was like talking about just like compared to before, but Shams is saying, yeah, he's also according to beat writer, like likely keep gutting out injuries. So maybe another Josh Morrissey in that, like the reason that the player's cold is because he's playing through something, and come next year, Tage Thompson will be 100% and be back to worthy of being picked in the first round. The quote here, as long as he can fight through it, tolerate any pain there might be, the decision is his on whether he'll play, said Don Granato. Thank you, Shams. Shams always up to date. He's the best.
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to go to Washington next. So, I mean, it's not my choice. They're next in the list here. Surprising, obviously, to see Washington so low. Normally, they would be a comfortable playoff team. Not this year. The big news in Washington is, of course, that John Carlson has returned, and John Carlson has been like unbelievable so far. So it's only been a couple of games, but in those games he had 1 goal and 1 assist against Chicago, then a power play assist versus Pittsburgh. Meanwhile, Rasmus Sandin has just fallen off the map completely. unfortunately. In those two games, Rasmus Sandin, no points, and he had one shot in that first game, no shots in the second game. Just a total donut for a total pizza for Rasmus Sandin. So I don't see any reason to hold this guy. I still have him, Brian, in his keeper league that I might be going to the finals.
Yeah. And no, say goodbye.
I think he's a drop today. I still have 1.5 left.
Easy. And we'll see how, you know, like he was kind of disgruntled with the Leafs. And I wonder how this impacts. Like, I mean, there aren't a whole lot. There's 32 power play one quarterback jobs available. He's got another year in Washington to prove himself before he's a restricted free agent. So we'll see. But as long as John Carlson is there, as I think we predicted, his fantasy value is going to be super limited. A couple guys in Washington whose fantasy value is rising. Alex Ovechkin has found his goal scoring touch again. He had a stretch where he was not scoring a whole lot. Like he had only 3 goals over about 15 games or so, which is pretty cold for him. Well, Ovechkin now has 6 goals in his last 6 games on 27 shots. And you know, the Caps are giving him every single opportunity every night. So there's not much actionable there. But somebody else who's taken a bunch of shots who we're not used to seeing, Dylan Strome, 3 consecutive games with 3 or more shots on goal, including 6 shots against Pittsburgh on Saturday. And the last couple games, he is on the top power play unit. And while on the top power play unit, Dylan Strome has 3 power play points to go with 1 non-power play point. So he's hot right now, and with great deployment and shooting. I don't imagine, like, he's been hot for like 12 games now, so I don't imagine he's still available. But if he is, I would be very, very excited to add him to my roster as I compete for a title down the stretch.
Yeah, no, Strome up, 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 and Evgeny Kuznetsov, like, pretty down. Like, I know he has assists in each of his last couple games, but I still would not be excited about Kuznetsov off the top power play, not playing on the OV line. Yeah, it's just like Dylan Strome's taken over. So there you go. 3rd overall pick behind McDavid, if you recall. And Arizona not reaping the benefits. Neither is Chicago, who gave him away for nothing. And Washington is, I'm sure, very happy with what they've gotten out of Dylan Strome. Speaking of Ovi scoring, if anyone wants an update here, he's up to now 822 goals after scoring like a goal or two in every single game of his last 4. So 820, so 894 is the record. Minus 822, 72 left. That's it. He'll do that in 2 seasons. He scores 40 goals a year easy. So next season, then the following year, he's going to break the record. Unless something crazy happens. Wild. And then he's still going to probably play for a couple more years.
Yeah, he's 37 years old. So he could go for, you know, you could see him going for sure 2 more, maybe 3, maybe 4.
Here's the new question, Brian. It's not, is he going to beat Gretzky? Is he going to hit 1,000 goals? I think that's the new exciting question for Ovi.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that'll be the next one he's aiming for. And as long as his body is able and willing, he'll be out there. So we'll see.
Exciting stuff. Yeah. Okay. Let's take a break and then we're going to finish off. Okay. We're going to go a little late today, but it's fine. We're having fun. Thanks everyone for listening so far. We're going to take one last commercial break and then we're going to go through the Sens, the Blues, the Wings, the Canucks, the Flyers, the Coyotes, the Canadiens, the Ducks, the Blackhawks, the Blue Jackets, and the Sharks. So we'll be back soon. You're listening to Keeping Carlson. Brian just raised his eyes like, oh boy. We are back, Brian, and next up, your Ottawa Senators, a team we thought would maybe be coming higher in the list at the start of the year, and maybe even recently when they acquired Jacob Chychrun, hasn't worked out too well, and I think that loss to New Jersey yesterday may have been the final nail in the coffin for their playoff hopes.
That was like the nail after the final nail. Sure. Like, actually, for me, a Sens fan, every loss is good now. Like, the playoff dream is over.
We're going,
let's lose. Let's see if we can improve. Yeah, like, get another percent or two chance at Connor Bedard.
Yeah, and I guess the big question here now is, interestingly, it's kind of like the same in Winnipeg when we were talking about Pionk and Morrissey. Jake Sanderson has taken over on the top power play, but is ice cold. And Tommy Chabot bumped from the top power play, red hot, 4 points his last 5 games. So are we, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I want to tell people you should get Jake Sanderson. He's on the top power play on the Sens team that has a lot of great players, but he's also not doing anything. So and Chabot, I'd be like, you should be worried about him, but I guess not. Like, what do you do?
I mean, Jake Sanderson perfectly filling the mold that Thomas Chabot set, right, quarterbacking the top power play in Ottawa. Yeah, which is that you're there, but you're not doing anything. Chabot at least offered like enough 5-on-5 production to usually make him rosterable. Sanderson is not there yet, but as we've mentioned a few times this season, getting better every game. You know who else is getting better every game, Elon?
Matthew Kachuk, Brady Kachuk.
I'm probably, but like visibly, Tim Stützle.
Very good.
This guy's crazy.
I think he's good.
Like he is one of the top players in the league by like I won't go into like all the measures, but especially since January. Like I you know what? Unfortunately, I didn't do the math to back this up. But like okay, since December 22nd, 41 games, half a season, 54 points. In those 41 games, which means that for the last several months, Tim Stützle is on a 108 point pace. And I feel like it's gone quite under the radar. Somebody else who is still good, even though it's not really showing up, Alex DeBrincat, who keeps getting denied goals in all kinds of ridiculous ways, like offside reviews, posts, deflections, whatever. It's all like, I think for me, this is like sneaky value for next year. For DeBrincat, assuming he stays in Ottawa, like we'll see what happens if he changes situations. I'm not sure, but he's like getting punished. Like the hockey gods are like really, really not working in his favor. And I think we could expect better from him in a usual way, over a long enough sample size. And I'll mention two more guys, Elon. I'm sorry, I know
you were the one who told me you want to end quickly.
I know, okay, but like this, I have a lot to say about Ottawa. Team. Drake Batherson, have you noticed that he's not doing that great this season?
I mean, yeah, he's like not on the top power play. There's only like so much production to go around. So I guess, yeah, it makes sense.
Well, he has 26 power play points. So like that, yeah. I guess he hasn't been on the top power play for... No, he has been.
I'm just looking at like the last game. Game he had 50... Chuck, DeBrincat, Giroux. Oh, Giroux, I guess, wasn't there before. Okay. So then what's going on then with Drake Batherson?
Yeah, 4% shooting when we could expect 12% from him. And honestly, I think that's the whole difference. So he's on a 60-something point pace, 64-point pace compared to an 80-point pace last year. And we said, like, you know, maybe he'll go down a bit because there's more sharing to be done in the top six in Ottawa this year. But he's shooting more often this year and scoring less often. And I don't think that's happening in a sustainable way. So Batherson also could be some nice draft table value next year because there's not time, unlike who did we say before? Oh, Timo Meier, for Batherson to change our minds in the playoffs. And one other guy I'll mention who you might want to be interested in again is Mads Sugaard, who has had two really strong starts. He's stopped 60 of the last 64 shots he's faced against Boston and Tampa. Tough teams, 938 combined save percentage against them both. So Dylan Ferguson was in. He lost New Jersey. He played pretty well, but I would hazard to guess that Ottawa plays four times this week. Sugaard sees... I'm going to guess he sees at least two and possibly three.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you. That's probably likely. Ferguson was not meant to be... you know, a lot of Ottawa guys have come in and had like one really huge game. Like Mandelis did this also. But I think that Sugaard is the one with the pedigree. Or it might just be that he'll get those games, but he might not do well. Right, like there have been a lot of those lately. All right, Brian, next up, after the Ottawa Senators. So all these teams now are teams that Ottawa Senators are better than. So that's something to be proud of. The St. Louis Blues, who I think if we were to restart the season now, the Blues would, potentially rank higher because they've been pretty good lately, especially on the back of their new goalie, Joel Hofer, who is like clearly much better than Jordan Binnington. So I think at this point, he's like kind of taken the job. Binnington got the start yesterday and he did well, but it was against Anaheim. And Hofer's getting the start today after he got two other starts in a row, or three in a row, I should say. So we'll see how it goes moving forward. I think Hofer is someone that you definitely want to take a look at. Like St. Louis plays next week, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. I think that's also possible that Hofer can get three games. I mean, it depends. Like maybe not. Maybe it'll be 2-2. But even 2-2 isn't so
definitely
bad.
Definitely possible.
And then also on St. Louis, I'll bring up some other guys, but I've been bringing them up for a while now. But like, first of all, Jakub Vrana, 6 goals now for the Blues in 10 games. Just like basically the guy that people were drafting back when he was on Detroit, and you're getting him. And I got him out of free agency, Brian, in our keeper league. One of the, maybe the big reasons why I'm going to be moving forward, if I do, is because of Vrana, that pickup that I made right at the end of my matchup against you and John a couple weeks ago. And but then like Sammy Blais still doing well, Kasperi Kapanen. There's a lot of guys that might be available in your free agency that are hot right now. And yeah, if they're playing with Buchnevich, you want them. And that's what like Blais and Kapanen are doing specifically. So definitely guys you want to take a look at for 4 games next week.
Yeah, Vrana taking over 3 shots per game with St. Louis, which, he actually, when he got to Detroit, he was also shooting a bunch, like maybe 2.5 shots per game, not quite 3, but he clearly has the green light. 6 goals on 33 shots since becoming a Blue for Vrana, and he's shooting 18%. His career shooting percentage is 15%, so like that's not completely unreasonable. So yeah, way to go, Vrana, who, by the way, I held on my roster in that same league for a long time, thinking he might be a keeper. Anyway, he's not. I don't think he's worked his way into that conversation yet, but St. Louis has been a great landing spot for him.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But yeah, probably not. But maybe it'll be like a guy I won't keep and then regret it when next year he plays like
right.
a keeper.
We're talking, we should clarify though, like in this league, it's a keep eight.
Yeah.
Right? So it depends on how, the size of your keeper.
Justin Falk, I just want to bring up because we had a question actually from patron Taylor for sure. Can you guys talk about the pros and cons of Matheson, Fowler, and Falk? And I wanted to answer that question, but we hadn't talked about any other teams yet until now. We get to Justin Falk. Pretty meh to me. He did have two assists in his last game, but generally he's been, yeah, he'll get you an assist every once in a while. He hasn't had the season that I thought he would. I'll just say that. So I think what we've seen so far from Justin Falk is probably what you'll get. I know for sure what Brian will say, and I will 100% agree. Mike Matheson, of those three, is the big pro, especially with Montreal's great schedule next week, right at the start too, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. I can't imagine Matheson even being in free agency in any league at this point. It's crazy. He's been getting points every single game, often multi-point games.
Matheson is producing like a forward in Montreal. It's not just points. Like his peripherals, like he's shooting constantly. He blocks. He throws an occasional hit, so you're not seeing much there. But yeah, he's been outstanding for a Montreal team that is certainly not. And the power play production is there too. So I think going into next year, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how many people are bought in. Like, I think he's doing a lot of this without being on anyone's radar. Everybody's kind of just like left Montreal behind. And Mike Matheson is proving to be like Krug, Falk. I have Matheson like much higher than them on my draft list as things stand right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. Taylor also asked, by the way, is it a good idea to ride up the LA Kings tandem for last week, or I guess for next week, or shoot for some streamers? I mean, look, like I think it's basically guaranteed that you're, barring injury, that you're going to get two games each from Copley and Corpusalo, and they've been really good lately. So if you could get a streamer that you could get three games out of, I mean, but you won't be able to. Like, that's not going to be available to you. So yeah, I think if you have a room for all their games, that's obviously the big question, but assuming you could get all those Kings games, then just do that. I don't know. Unless you want to do something else with one of those roster spots. But yeah, you know what you're going to get, so it's easy to make the decision.
Okay. Yeah, weigh the value of that roster spot that you're using to cuff them and then go from there.
It's even easy. Like, okay, we know Corpusalo is going to play Tuesday against Calgary. Copley, Thursday versus Edmonton. So maybe if you want to avoid Edmonton, then drop Copley, because that's the scary game there. If you want to, like, you know, think of it like that. It's nice when you get to really just know exactly what the schedule is going to be for the goalies. Okay, Brian, the Detroit Red Wings are next up here in the list.
Forgive me, I'm talking out of turn here, but I feel like we can just, like, blow right past them.
Yeah, there's no hot players according to Frozen Tools.
There's like nothing of interest happening in Detroit. Seider still like doing nothing, like pointless in six games again. Had six shots and five hits on Saturday night against Philly. Still quarterbacking the top power play. But Elon, that is the most interesting thing I can find to say about the Red Wings.
Yeah, I mean, Husso's injured.
Husso's out, yeah.
So Nedeljkovic could be worth grabbing, because I said it on the Patreon cast on Wednesday, which, by the way, if you didn't listen to it and you're a patron, it's a free bonus show we recorded for the patrons, which was a lot of fun. Oh, wait, it was on Thursday. And I said on that show, Hellberg, I'm over him. I don't think he's good anymore. So now I'd even prefer Nedeljkovic. Shams is sad. Sorry, Shams has been here the whole time. Red Wings fan. Just skipping him over. But come on, Shams. Like, if you have a good idea about something to talk about on Detroit, throw it in the chat and we'll talk about it.
And you have short shifts to correct us on it, too.
That's true. Okay, let's go, Brian, to the Vancouver Canucks, who are playing today, and they have once again won a game. There's climate. You know, they were very low in the standings, and they were looking like a good bet to maybe
the
get
worst, this. Yeah, this is the worst possible thing for the Canucks, like, is to be winning all these games.
They're looking like great, and I guess one big change that's happened is that Filip Hronek has joined the roster finally. He's getting like decent power play time. Hasn't really produced yet, but that's just going to help the Canucks be even better, I'd imagine. So I'm curious to see what they'll do next year.
Yeah, he's also bumped Anthony Beauvillier from the top power play, right? They're running 3F2D on the power play in Vancouver now. So Hronek and Hughes with Miller, Besser, and Peterson. So Beauvillier's off the top unit. He was also on the third line before today. I see Beauvillier was reunited today with Pedersen and Kuzmenko. But he's someone, you know, he plays three times, and one of those games is on Saturday. I'm keeping a close eye on whether he's going to be continuing worth rostering. Now, today's game is over. Beauvillier has one shot in his last three games total with flow to like deployment in flux. I'll be honest, Elon, there's somebody I might rather want in Vancouver right now. He's playing with Miller and Besser, five on five.
That's, I know who it is. DiGiuseppe.
Yeah. He's doing great. 3 goals. And he scored again today against Chicago. 3 goals in his last 4 games. Has an assist in there, too. Has those 3 goals on just 6 shots. So it's not going to continue. But, I mean, similar situation to Beauvillier. Good 5-on-5 line. No power play deployment. So, you know, someone that you might want to stream instead of hold. Like, Beauvillier has been such a good hold for a while. But it might be time to consider saying goodbye.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, by the way, I agree with you, by the way, with Beauvillier, and I'm excited to see the Canucks next year. Maybe this, they'll be my new New Jersey Devils. Now that I finally was right, when every single year I said the Devils will be good, and I finally got it right this time, because I guess I was bound to eventually, maybe the Canucks is the team that for next year, like, I think they'll be good next year, and then we'll see how wrong they can make me. But okay, Brian, next up, we are going to the Philadelphia Flyers, who have had a nice little run lately on the back of Carter Hart, who I think you brought up before when we were talking about, who was it? Either Ryan or Harrison has him in the couple.
And Harrison.
Yeah, so if you've held him all year, you've been great. And yeah, he got that shutout against Detroit, stopping 29. I guess before that, like the goals against numbers don't look great, but considering he's playing on this Philly team, it's very impressive. Like overall, a 909 save percentage. It's good.
Yeah, and he's won 3 straight.
That's great, yeah. Against Florida and Minnesota, also along with Detroit. So I'm sure he's like carrying the team. Farabee and Noah Cates are showing up as hot right now. I feel like this is the kind of case where it's just going to be kind of like a Chicago situation. Like different guys will be hot on different days. But if you want to know the lines, just to get the full story of why Farabee and Cates are hot, what do we have here? JVR with Hazen, Wade Allison, Cates, Farabee, Owen Tippett. I like Owen Tippett a lot. So I guess, yeah, I would consider the Owen Tippett line the top line if I get to just choose what I want. And so, yeah, then make Joel Farabee and Noah Cates somewhat interesting.
Yeah, like throw a dart at this depth chart, right? To see. And by the way, we talked a while back about Tony D'Angelo. Like, do you drop him when he was suspended? And maybe you did, and it might have been the right call, but he's hot again. So if he did land in free agency, he's been back on it. But yeah, Lawton, Cates, Tippett, Frost, Farabee, you could add any of them and potentially have a good week from them. The Flyers play 4 times. One guy who has been hot too is Tyson Forrester. And he is playing for Lehigh Valley of the AHL today, so he's not on the roster. I don't know, Elon. Have you seen anything about the plan to perhaps bring him back? Like, he played in the NHL Saturday. He's playing in the AHL Sunday after picking up 3 goals in 4 games on 9 shots.
No, I think Tortorella liked him. I think the plan is for him to make the team next year, right? Maybe it's like a burning games type of thing, like ELC type stuff. I'm not sure exactly. I know it was like Zamula.
Oh, yeah.
Forrester.
Yeah, Forster's up to 8 games. You're right. So yeah, I guess his audition just might be done.
Yeah, watch him for next year. I think he's a good bet to make the team. Arizona comes next. I think we've pretty much said everything there's to say about Arizona at this point. Like, the top power play continues to be Schmaltz, Keller, Hayton, Travis Boyd, and Valimaki. Keller and... Oh, you wanted to say stuff about Keller. Like, Keller and Schmaltz are both incredible, right? Clayton Keller's just broken a record, I believe, for the most points by an Arizona Coyote in a season, like passing 70 at this point. So he's great, but he's not available to anyone anymore. And I don't think we have to talk about, like, is he going to be able to do this again next year? I think it seems like no matter who he plays with. But now he actually has Barrett Hayton, who's turned out to be really good, and Nick Schmaltz. So, yeah, I don't know. Valimaki's still the quarterback of the top power play?
You know what? So you want him. But Keller, yeah, I actually, and after all my fanfare at the start of the show, I don't have the stat in front of me anymore. But, like, going back to February, I think I read, like, he's, like, second in scoring to Connor McDavid. 38 points in his last 23 games for Clayton Keller. Elon, I'll do the math for you. That's a 136-point pace for Clayton Keller over the last almost 2 months. He's got 2 and 3-point games all over the stat sheet. 7 and 8-shot games also all over the stat sheet. And I'm going to be honest, this is a guy who I was really frustrated with earlier in the season. As predicted, like that super long road trip for the Coyotes stunk. But then through January, Keller was doing like nothing. And I was like even considering him part of my roster in Kakupful, like not about to drop him, but starting to think about it. I'm pretty sure I offered him for a pretty low price in some trades. And as I've mentioned on past episodes, Elon, I think I'm like bad at trading. Like, I got to stop. I kept wanting to buy, like, my retrospective of the season. I was buying low on players who never got high, and I was selling low on players who did get high. And thankfully, none of my trades were really accepted.
Yeah, because everyone probably assumed that you know what you're doing, and
yeah,
you're trying
to
take Keller.
Yeah, or so, I do according to the, you know, whatever. I have my own analysis, but clearly there's something I'm missing here, and I think I'm just going to try and restrain myself from engaging too much in trade talks next year, because I could have really, really, like, when my team was garbage and I was trying to make a trade. Man, I could have just made sure my team was garbage for the rest of the season. And like I said, they've been super hot because I wasn't able to deal anyone.
Yeah, no, you drafted a good team, clearly, and you just had to be patient. And now your team is great. Unfortunately, you didn't make the actual playoffs, but you're one of the top teams. You were saying you won the, what was it called again? The
Kerkuffle Super Show. Yeah, like I would love to see the fast track, right? Like total points rankings for the last... 6 to 8 weeks, I think my team would be right up there.
Yeah, I'm sure Kevin can get you that info. Let's go to the Montreal Canadiens next.
I'd almost rather he didn't, in case I'm wrong.
Okay. I know you wanted to talk about the Habs. A lot to talk about here. They're playing Monday, Tuesday, Thursday to start next week. You've already talked about how Mike Matheson, go get that guy. We've talked about Kirby Doc being back on the last short shifts. Doc, once again. Well, actually, Doc went pointless somehow in the game against Columbus when Montreal scored 8 goals, which I don't really get, but I'd still be interested, I think. He's on the top power play. But like, there's other guys that you could go for, like Mike Hoffman, who's on the top power play. Harvey Pinard had a hat trick. There's like, if you want to stream a Hab, there's no shortage. Like Gurianov, we've discussed. Drouin is even... Gallagher's back. Remember Brendan Gallagher? He's back.
Yeah.
It's not same. He had one goal and assist against Columbus.
That was exactly my thought, too, when I saw that he was producing. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh yeah, like he's back. Like, no, we weren't even watching to see when Brendan Gallagher would be healthy. But I feel like the situation in Montreal, very similar to the one we just mentioned in Philly, which is like you could throw a dart and get it right. Harvey Pinard specifically, I saw a tweet. I'm sorry, I can't remember the source, but showing the impact that Harvey Pinard has had on Nick Suzuki, like with Suzuki without Pinard and with Harvey Pinard, and like really valuable contributor, like is someone that I think Suzuki needs to be able to, and like so much so that you can throw Mike Hoffman on the line as an anchor and they'll still do pretty well. Between Doc, you've already named them, Harvey Pinard, Mike Hoffman is on a nice little run, Brendan Gallagher, Jesse Ylönen a little further down the lineup, and we already talked about Mike Matheson. Montreal plays back-to-back to start the week. There is some value potentially to be found in those first couple games.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like in that 8-goal game is I have this guy, Michael Pezzetta, specifically for hits. That's my only reason to have him. I guess when you're up 8-2, you don't need to go taking runs at people. And so we only had one hit. What was that? Annoying. He even got like power play time. He got second power play, which I never expected, but I don't want it. I'll trade away all the power play time for him to just throw more hits, please. But okay, Brian, next up, we are going to the Anaheim Ducks. Oh.
Sorry, I'm just
go for it.
Denis Gurianov, didn't mention him. He's not doing a whole lot. He's still barely shooting, but he has points in 7 of his last 9 games. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Also Suzuki killed it this week. Patty's saying here in the chat. So yeah, for anyone who we were considering dropping Suzuki at points, but yeah, he's been really good lately. Okay, we're going to Anaheim now. So Troy Terry is injured. That stinks. But I guess that's opened up an opportunity for, who's this guy? Nestorenko. Brian, you want to give me who is Nikita Nestorenko? He finally scored a goal. He's been up for 3 games now, scored a goal in the last game. Is he someone that people should look at if you're in your super deep leagues?
Yeah, Nikita Nestorenko, the native of Brooklyn, New York, went to Boston College, just finished his college career with 34 points in 36 games for Boston College of the Hockey East Division I team. And I guess like he's there. He's in the NHL. I don't. His 6th round pick of the Wild back in 2019, so 172nd overall. He is 21 years old, and this is his first professional hockey experience. So, who was I talking about before? The college player who we usually don't expect. Was it Novak? No.
Was it Harvey Pinard? I don't know.
No, it might have been on the first half. There was somebody someone coming out of college with this pattern, even as a producer, doesn't necessarily turn into a high-end player, like generally maybe a middle sixer instead. So I don't know that the upside for Nestorenko is particularly high, but if you're looking for a short-term stream, he seems to be in a decent spot right now in Anaheim. So you might, Actually, he's not even really in a decent spot.
All right, forget him. Well, actually, I was going to say, I need to correct myself because Troy Terry is not injured. Shams has corrected me here. He left the game, and originally Anaheim tweeted that he was leaving the game with an injury, but then Lisa Dillman tweeted that he's not injured and it was a personal matter. Left the game in the middle of the game for personal matters. Hopefully everything's okay. But anyways, Nestor
Gets Ankoma. Poop.
That's a, he had to, yeah, maybe he had
probably.
To poop. Or maybe there's an emergency. I don't know. But anyway.
Okay. I hope I didn't just make light of something serious.
Yeah. But anyways, Nestor Ankoma was playing with Terry and McTavish. That's pretty good. But I mean, also even like McTavish playing with himself and Troy Terry has been like just okay. So, you know, there's only so far you can get. And, you know, John Gibson just had himself another bad game. Dostal probably gets the next. Actually, Dostal's been good lately. But who knows? Like with Anaheim, like don't like go out and get Lucas Dostal because he had a really good game. You know, he does have like 2 wins and 4 quality starts in his last 4 games. They're pretty spread out. And there's still like 3-4 goals against. It's just Anaheim lets in so many shots. It's a risk whenever you roll out one of these Anaheim goalies. But Brian, next up, we'll go to the Chicago Blackhawks, who, if we look at the hot and cold players here, another team with none for the hot players. Another way I throw the dart. Yeah.
They're all snowflakes. Oh, I wouldn't, like, I would save my darts. I would throw like another dart at Montreal or Philly rather than throw a dart at Chicago. I don't know where the production's going to come from.
Yeah. Seth Jones finally got an assist in the last game today versus Vancouver, breaking a 9-game point streak. Yikes. Okay.
A pointless streak?
Yeah. Did I say point streak? Definitely not a 9-game point streak.
Yeah.
It's not going well for Seth Jones.
And that's Seth Jones' first assist since February 25th, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Drop your Chicago players. There's not much to do there.
Yeah, unless they have an exciting schedule. Okay, Patrick Laine is injured. We're going to Columbus next. Laine's out. Like Columbus has just had so many injuries. Just really stinks. Not much to say about that. I really think that Boone Jenner is very good. I'll just say that apropos of like whatever. So he's playing now with Gaudreau and Marchenko. He's the top line center. Remember when we used to like have funny debates about how I would say I think there was like 1 year that Jenner was good. Like, what was it? Like in 2015 or something, he scored 30 goals. And then the next year I was like, oh, maybe he's... And then you were like, nah, it's not going to... And then he sucked. And then you sort of made fun of me every year for like the next 5 or 6 years about, oh, Elon, oh, Boone Jenner, you probably love him. You probably want to talk about him. And I was like, okay, stop.
No, I wasn't going out of my way to do it. You would just like, he'd get a point. He'd be like, look out for Boone Jenner.
No,
and like, especially like at the start of the season, like go back to our almanacs. We were like, I really think this Boone Jenner could be something. So your hunch was right. And to be fair, I did change my tune once he was allowed to do better and like the numbers backed it up. But yeah, having been a career like 35-point player, I'm with you now, Elon, even though he's a plus minus league killer, minus 26 this season, but he's on a 60-point pace for the second straight season. And that's without a lot of Laine and without a lot of Gaudreau. So we'll see what position he's on. He's in the depth chart next season.
Yeah, I mean, there's like Kent Johnson coming up. So, you know, we'll have to see like where he slots in. Also in net, I guess it's like at this point, it's not even like that fantasy relevant. Like Merzlikins is hurt again. Tarasov apparently is also hurt. So just called up John Gillies. Remember John Gillies?
Emergency call up. Yeah.
So it might be like Gillies and Hutchinson as their goalie tandem. So don't stream in.
That's
don't
like
do
a
that.
Tank-worthy tandem for sure. Like that reminds me. Who was it that the Coyotes had? It was Carter Hutton and... Someone else.
Prosvetov?
No.
Well, I don't know. It
wasn't Vejmelka. It was like, this was like just pre-Vejmelka.
That guy they got from San Jose, who's like, there's letters that aren't pronounced the way they're spelled. There was like, Koronar. It was like Kajanash.
Oh, gosh.
It was going to be Kajanash and Carter Hutton. And then Vejmelka came in and stole the job. Until now, where now it's like Vejmelka has to share the job with 2 other people, which is very annoying as someone who traded for Vejmelka in my dynasty. But whatever. Where are we going next here? After Columbus, the last team in the league, tied with Columbus. We'll see how it finishes off at San Jose. And I don't care how bad the team is. I just care how awesome Erik Karlsson is. What? He just got his 90th point, Brian. He's like career high. Who would have guessed that at the age of 32, Erik Karlsson would be like after this like Hall of Fame worthy career and after everyone had like kind of given up on him a little bit and now he has like his best ever season. Like what were the chances? Like incredible. Just it's so exciting.
Really small. Like even like Karlsson suit, like we... who named everything after Erik Karlsson, like built our everything in our podcast and tangentially related to our podcast around Erik Karlsson. We did not see this coming. Great. Great. I hope he can do it again next year. Like, a lot of it looks pretty sustainable. The eye test, he looks better than he's looked in a long time, although maybe there's a bit of confirmation bias happening there. But holy cow. Yeah, 90 points in 73 games on the Tage Thompson pace for 101 points. And that's with only 21 power play points so far, which is less than I'd expect him to have from quarterbacking the top unit, even if it's the San Jose top unit. Like, there's been enough talent for him to do well there. So we'll just keep an eye on things.
Just enjoy it.
He'll be a fun guy to see where he gets drafted.
Keep both your eyes on it and enjoy the show. Don't just keep one eye on it.
Oh, so well, Elon, poetry.
There it is. Brian, then I know it would be fitting to just like end on Erik Karlsson, but I did want to throw one name at you and like on the total opposite end of the spectrum, just one of these like, who is this guy, like a Nestoranko. There's a new player in the lineup for the last couple of games named Andrew Agosino, who's been playing with Couture and Barabanov on the second line. He's 32 years old, same age as Karlsson, but he hasn't had the same career as Erik Karlsson. He's really bounced around the league, but all of a sudden he's coming for three games and has 3 points. Okay. And he's on the top six. So is this someone we need to look at? And he's probably not rostered anywhere. He's available in my dynasty league and he's minors eligible. Is there anything here with Andrew Agosino?
I don't think so.
You've never heard of him, of course.
He played a game for Ottawa last year.
Oh.
I'm familiar. But like he's played really well in the AHL for the last few seasons. He's been a near point per game player, but he didn't even start his career as a point per game AHLer. And he's been playing in the AHL. His first season in the AHL was 2012-13, 10 years ago. So he's 32 years old, undrafted, smaller guy, like fits that profile of like just looking at like the boxcars without knowing a whole lot about him, fits that profile of like that small, successful AHL scorer, but it just doesn't translate to the NHL. 12 points in 50 career NHL games. That said, maybe he's never been totally given an opportunity. So I don't know. Fun guy, fun name to throw out there. Elon, thanks for bringing him to our attention.
Yeah. Also 10 hits in those three games. So depending on how deep your league is, I don't know, for you dynasty people out there, I don't even know who this is for. Andrew Agosino. But really, the story is Erik Karlsson. Let's just end with him. Brian, this has been so much fun. We went through every single team. Hopefully, we've given people some good tips. Good luck to everyone in your finals. Tweet at us at Keeping Karlsson. I'd love to know like if you took any advice or like went after some player that we talked about on the show. And, like, you know, we'd love to just keep track of how things are going and how we've either helped or hurt you with everything that we've talked about today. You could follow us on Twitter and tweet at us. Much love, as always, to the patrons. Thank you for all your support over the season. We have started our $1 summer promotion. Not promotion. What do you call it? Like, basically, we've decreased the pledge amount you need to give us in order to get all of our perks, which we do every summer. Just to thank everyone for supporting us. We want you to stick around. We actually still do like a lot of shows and like we still like keep the community active and we're going to have the playoff pool, which is always
playoff
a blast.
Playoff pool coming up. There's a lot of reasons to still be in the community. And also like when we do 32 Beats, we solicit patron questions and I like thoughts and what do you want to know about the team? So like this is a really great chance to get a low cost preview of what it's like to be a patron. And hopefully you'll see the value and you'll stick with us for the Cupful. Registration's not open for next season yet, but I think we haven't fully talked about it, but we're going to do it. Last year, we opened it like really early, like almost very shortly after the season ended. We're going to do the same thing this year. So we'll keep you posted on the podcast, but patrons will know first.
Yeah. But of course, we got to focus here. We got the playoff pool is going to be huge. We're going to really start talking about that because that's like a one of a kind pool that we do every year where basically every patron is eligible to play and you start like we start with like a whole bunch of different leagues and we all draft just for the first round. And then whoever ranks in the top four or five will have to work it out depending on how many people sign up. You know, the like top four or five in each league like moves forward to the second round where you draft again for just the second rounds. So you don't have to worry about like drafting for teams. You just have to, I guess, worry a little bit about drafting for teams that you think are going to like go to game seven versus have a sweep. But it's a lot of fun. And we have a good prize for that. We usually give, I think I won it a couple years ago and I got a cool hoodie that, I wore recently, and a friend of mine was like, where do I get that cool Keeping Karlsson hoodie? And I was like, win the playoff pool, buddy. Good luck. Anyway. Okay. Brian's not laughing, so that means it's probably time to just wrap this thing up. Let's cue the outro music. Brian, read us the credits. Take us out of here.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take you out of here. This episode of the Keeping Karlsson Fantasy Hockey Podcast was presented by Dauber Hockey and powered by our patrons. including our super supporters, Ricard, Rob, David, Derek, Ryan, Tom, Andrea, Ivan, Tyler, Aaron, Adam, and of course, Patty. Thank you to Kevin Hebert and our team of co-commissioners who were just fantastic, helping the couple run smoothly this year. This might be the last thanks we get. Oh, maybe next week. One more thanks for you guys. Thanks to Shams and you, Elon, for all the work you guys are doing over at GameDayTweets.com to help us stay informed. Thank you also to Lewis and Jeremy and Shams for all the amazing work on Short Shifts through the week. Make sure to tune in for that. Logo art by number 3 seed in tier 1, BrandonWeeb.com. Outro music by Pat Roach. This episode was researched with help from Dauber Hockey, Frozen Tools, Dauber Prospects, Natural Stat Trick, Evolving Hockey, Cap Friendly, The Athletic, HockeyGoalies.org, Hockey Reference, Hockey Viz, Hockey Database, Elite Prospects, and Yahoo.
Great job, as always, Brian. A quick thing I'll throw out there about GameDayTweets.com. I made it now, so if you go to the main page, you just get a summary of like all the latest tweets from like all 4 of the accounts, just in one go. So if you just want to kind of get the latest like news lines, you know, goalies, just get it all.
Like, you know, the Vince McMahon face meme?
When Trish Stratus was dancing on the... Oh, no, it was Stacey Keibler, I think, dancing on the table.
I don't know what's happening out of the frame. Like, I just know...
When his chair falls over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you could make it about, like, the progression of Game Day tweets.
I remember that as a kid, Jerry Lawler was losing his mind. You're like, oh, my God. And then Vince McMahon...
When wasn't Jerry Lawler losing his mind, though? Really?
That was fun. Okay. And probably inappropriate. But anyway, thanks, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Yeah, inappropriate, problematic. But you know what? How we can fix that now, Elon? We can keep doing all that we can to make sure that fantasy hockey is for everyone.